G'day everybody, great you're listening in. I'm Brendan and joined by Hayden and Alex today. We're from the Markham team and we're having a quick discussion on British Standard 8102. This is the second segment of a series revolving around basement waterproofing in New Zealand and Australia, and we believe it's a section of the construction industry which could see some structural improvement, pun intended. I'll talk more about this as come from as we go along, but Hayden, can you remind the audience about your role and background in the team and tell us why we can't ignore BS 8102?
Thank you, Brendo. No, we cannot ignore BS 8102. G'day, Alex.
Hey,
Hayden. Good to have you here, mate.
Thank you.
Hey, Hayden Prestige, been with Markham for 10 years, come out of the construction industry. So, yeah, very passionate about this topic, but mostly because been on the remedial side of it, seeing where it goes wrong. And it is 100% right that we cannot ignore BS 8102, I believe, and it's a 2022 version we're talking about. What this is it's a guide, a framework for protecting underground structures and protecting them from water ingress. And it's not a standard, it's not a code, it's a system, it's a guide, it's a recommendation really that we need to follow to make sure we get projects right and we get waterproofing looked after, cared for like it should, so it's not an afterthought, so it's not a and that's probably the main reason we're seeing is over the past we've seen it as a tack on waterproofing
100%, yeah,
and make that into a framework we can follow that we get it right, get all the parties together, get the steps in order, and get it done. Was that sort of what you're thinking? Anything bad on that, Alex?
Look, yeah, even more to that point, it's something that can potentially be called up on in the early design phases, and it's the first thing that gets pulled out once you get to the construction phase. A lot of the times it's all dollars and cents, which everybody has a budget to, build to. From what we've seen in market research, a lot of the remediation actually comes back to waterproofing or the way the structure was first put together. That could have prevented that from happening just by doing a few small steps at the interim.
Massively so. And just pick up on the point again, Bruno, how we can't ignore it. It does provide a framework that's been proven for years and years in Britain, in London. Obviously, they're building a lot of basements there due to space, whereas we are slightly different to that in Australia and New Zealand. But the fact is they've refined that standard over that code over years. And, I think the last was 2009, then updated in 2022. So a lot of history gone into that. And why reinvent the wheel? Yeah. Okay, there's elements there that may not exactly relate to our buildings, our seismic, etc. But the point is, it's a guide to take us through that process.
Yeah, it's good. So, for context, for our hearers, Markham has been involved with concrete waterproofing for many years with our admixtures and spray applied waterproofing treatments, and we've felt very much the need for a long time for a holistic approach for basements. Recently, we collected up a lot of feedback from every aspect of the construction industry that felt needs around basement waterproofing. So what we're seeking to do now is to share those findings with our clients and audience to provoke a rethink and a fresh mindset in the industry, if at all possible. Alex, did you want to comment on that at all?
Yeah, the feedback has been great. And obviously, like Brendan said, we've been collecting that from a lot of different avenues so that it's not just one-sided. From a design perspective, which is probably more so where I focus on the market and what I'm doing with Markham, I should say, as well, is that designing it right, making it fit the project and ensuring that the expectations and requirements are one and the same, not oppositions to each other, because you can expect something, but it only required to be this or vice versa, and it can really trip builders up from a client's end point of view, especially an asset owner or developer.
Massively. And the point you make around, Brendan, I think you've mentioned about sharing our insights is good, because If we're not doing that as an industry, if we're not sharpening the saw, what we've learned through design process, what we've learned through building, what we've learned through remedial. Malcolm actually got involved in waterproofing via remedial originally, and then being able to build a system to take away that, get it right up the front, those sort of things. But 100%, it's to provoke a rethink. Like, why do the same thing time after time and expect a different result? See, we don't do it in any other space, but for some reason we do it in basement waterproofing, and that's what we need to change up. So I agree, it's thought-provoking, but we need to make the change. We need to drive the change, and as an industry, get all our heads together. It's not, I don't think one person can fix this. I don't think one industry can fix this, one supplier. It's about getting it, following it.
Collaborative
100%.
approach, isn't it?
Absolutely. And getting all the heads around the table early, getting it done right.
It's good. I guess there may be some in the audience that are wondering, don't we already have regulations locally and guidelines? Why should we need to consult something from the other side of the planet? Did you want Hayden from New Zealand and Alex from Australia to comment on why we're looking at this document? Where the local guidelines perhaps aren't meeting the need.
I think everything good comes out of Britain, doesn't it, Brennan? No, it's not the point. The point is there's no code in New Zealand, and Alex will speak for Australia, but there's no code in New Zealand or standard for subgrade waterproofing, which is, like, if you look at that as a whole, it's a big number of big value of a project is under the ground in some of these basements, especially, thinking of a high level or high end type build where you've got a major car park underneath, you've got hydrostatic pressure, you've got a lot of structural design, you've got a diaphragm, it's holding the tower up in many instances. So why do we allow the ingress of water, or why don't we have a code to
Protect that.
protect that and get it right? So that's really, I think, why we need to look further afield, people that have done it right.
100%, 100%. I mean, look, even just in Australia being as vast and wide as we are, building constraints are becoming more and more applied to suburban areas. You can no longer build out, you've got to build up, and by going up, they're going down. You see it more and more. There's a lot more basements in design. Nearly, over 50% of the work that I look at has some form of a basement involved in it, either being on the geography of cutting into a hill or straight down, and they're now looking to put habitable spaces below. Like, how can you have that there with no official protection?
Yeah, and how is it? It's not as though it's been overlooked,
No.
but it's a gap that's not targeted enough, I
It
believe.
comes a bit of a finger pointing exercise. Who does what? Is it the ex? Is it the architect? Is it the engineer? Is it, let's bring on a third party consultant. If we can all have a roundtable discussion at the start for the betterness of the project long term, I think there's definitely a simple agreement everyone can come to meet the requirements.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt there's industry, local standards, etc., on performance levels, product, what's been approved to use in those areas, etc. But more the point is the, like you said, someone mentioned the holistic before, but it's the approach to that basement waterproofing or underground construction.
That's good. That's helpful. I guess we should, to be fair, touch on the point that the Australian National Construction Code is currently under review, and we're very much hoping that there'll be a number of improvements in this particular space in that new code. You've had something to do with that, Alex?
Only from a ongoing design discussion point of view, I hear it all the time. There's a lot more responsibility put on certain sectors as to what they have to design to. And I must admit, the BS 8102 is becoming front of mind. It is sort of the first thing that's mentioned. I'm hearing quite often, hey, we need to look at BS 8102, and that could be a multitude of different types and grades. There's not just one rule in there, and that's why it's a great guide, because it allows you to design it appropriately to what's needed effectively for project-specific design.
I agree. And like you mentioned, the NCC or the National Construction Code, but it's largely around performance outcomes, isn't it? And it doesn't exactly show you how to reach that point, which, like they say, BS 8102 is a tool to help you get to that point on the code. So I think it's good. There's a lot more awareness out there that we need the need for improvement, but not so much the know-how. And that's largely what we're about, is trying to share the intel, share the tools that can work, and work as a team to do it. I think it's good.
Brilliant. Well, we do have other material on this topic available on our Invisible Strength media site. Encourage you to go there and browse around, and we will push on with a third segment in this series very shortly. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Buzz.
Brilliant. Ciao.
Markham, adding life to concrete.